So that's the best part of my ministry. Oh, good. It's so good to be saved, you know. Too many Christians go around in the world under the circumstances, you know. When Lord has overcome it all for us. So, you know, he overcome it all because he loved us and he gave his life for us so that we could have eternity with him. Why can't we just believe in that, accept that, and live that today? We've all got troubles and problems and issues. Any of you that know that are trying to start or serve anywhere, that there's that great resistance that pushes you back. But God's in control. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And by the way, I read somewhere over there towards the end, there's a victory in Jesus somewhere. So don't forget that. I mean, we got to remember that. I think that woman yesterday who was walking around with Jesus kind of lit a fire in me. And she said, I'm walking around with Jesus. Wow. So we're the LePages missionaries to Guernsey. Some of you weren't here earlier. We gave a little presentation. Guernsey's between England and France. I was born in Guernsey. I've lived here 37 years. I got saved in Sarasota, Florida 16 years ago. Said I'd never go back. But praise God, he's called me to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world over there. They don't have what we have here, and we take for granted. And there's a lot to tell you. We have a lot of information on that table about the islands. So no doubt we are going back, and it's an honor to go back and proclaim the gospel of my Lord and Savior to a bunch of drunks that I grew up with, a bunch of people. I still have family there. We still have friends. But there's also 50 different nationalities on the one island that we can witness to. And so that's our plan. We're 19 months on deputation at 60% plus of our needed monthly support. And we are praying about leaving end of March. So I appreciate that if you remember that. They don't have these gospel churches like we have here in America that we take for granted. So many of them on every street corner. Well, they got rid of them a long time ago. They got rid of God a long time ago. But I have a message here this morning from 1 Kings 17 that I want to share with you. 1 Kings 17, Elijah the Tishbite. I was in Florida in January and February, and a pastor touched on this message, and the Lord spoke to me, said, that's a message for you. You can use that. And I took some notes down right away. So I haven't been working since February on this message. I just finally, I've been thinking about it all this time, but I just finally last night put it together, prayed about it, and I said, Lord, if it's your will, we'll use it tomorrow. It seems to go along with our plan and our purpose that the Lord's been showing me in my life that I had this plan and I had this perfect purpose. It's not his will that this drunken fool should have died in the fights I had or in the motorcycle accidents. When you hit a truck at 95 miles an hour, I figured I'm dead. Well, I wasn't. God had a plan and he had a purpose for my life. We're going to see here God had a plan. He has a purpose and a lot more in this story. There's so much going on in 1 Kings 17. And I'm going to read for you this morning from verse 1 to verse 24. It only takes a couple minutes to read those 24 verses, but I think they're all important. And I would ask you, if you are able this morning, in reverence to God's holy word, if you would stand while I read those 24 verses. 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said, verse 13, Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord thy God of Israel, The barrel of the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, Excuse me. O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of thy Lord is in thy mouth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love, for your mercies this morning, Lord, that they're new every morning, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, we're not consumed by our own iniquities today, Lord, but we're thankful that you loved us, and you loved us first, and you loved us so, Lord, that Jesus would come. Even while we're yet sinners, he would die for our sins, Lord. Thank you for our Savior, Lord. Thank you for thy Holy Spirit and thy Holy Word, Lord. Now we need your help, Lord. Speak to us this hour, Lord, and prepare us and fill us, Lord, that we may be better equipped to serve thee, Lord, when we leave this place, that thy house may be filled. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a wonderful story in the Old Testament about one of the great prophets, Elijah, the Tishbite. I'm not sure what a Tishbite is, if anybody knows. I think Elijah the Tishbite, maybe right there, he was from Gilead, and I'm not sure if that he would have been a Jew or not. But Elijah the Tishbite, in verse 1, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Here we see that God spoke to Elijah, and Elijah was this great prophet, and he had to go back to this wicked old king, him and Jezreel. They were about two of the wicked, them and another one, Manasseh. They're about two of the most wicked you could do. He had to take a message to this wicked old king. And God spoke to him. And then in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, in verse 3, get thee hence. First of all, I want us to notice right here, there's a plan right here. There's God's plan. This is number one. I want you to notice this. And the Lord gave me this. He spoke to me, reminded me and reassuring me of his plan for me. And his plan is also for you. Thank you, brother. I thought you was going to let me die there for a minute. I thought you went to boil the kettle and make a cup of tea. But thank you. So God has a plan, and he showed me that he just reassured me of his plan for me. In verse 3 he said, Get thee hence from this place, that means, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Well, first of all, we want to see that God spoke to Elijah, and he said, Get thee hence. Get thee from this place. Now, God spoke to me in that manner. He said, you are to go and proclaim the gospel to them. Well, first of all, Elijah was different to me. He was a great prophet. I was a nobody. But Elijah was obedient to God right here. So first of all, we see that God said, get thee hence from this place. And he wants Elijah in God's place, where God wants him to be. And we're going to see why. So we've got God's plan, and already we've got a place that God wants Elijah to go. And in verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So we see that Elijah had to get thee from his place, and he had to get over there to God's place. That's where God wanted him, and that's where God was going to use him, and we're going to see. God's plans, God's place right here. And it shall be, it says, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have a brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I have entitled this message, Are You There? And that will be my question to you, Are You There? And we're going to see exactly where there is. There was a drought coming, and God's plan was to take care of Elijah in God's place. Elijah knew there was a drought coming because he prayed for no rain for 3.5 years. So there was going to be a drought, and there was going to be famine before this. So God moved him so that he could provide for him, and we'll see. So verse 5, so he went and did according unto the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Here, Elijah didn't seem to question any of this. He got up and he went from thence, and he went there where God wanted him. That relates or goes heavy with me, because I didn't go there for about 5 years, but I should have. Now I'm in a hurry to get there to make up for why I haven't been there. But God knows the perfect time. He knows all about that. And verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. That is God's provision in God's place. It was God's plan to provide for Elijah there. But there's more. There's a whole lot more in this story. Let's go on verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, no drinking water. Remember, he prayed for no rain, and God gave him no rain. But the brook dried up. So in verse 8 we see, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You see, God again is sending him where this drought was, where the water had ran out. He was sending him from thence, from this place. He was sending him there to God's place, where he provided not just food again, as we're going to see, but he had a woman there. This woman was there in her place where God wanted her. Right there. And I will be there in Guernsey when I get there. That's where God wants me to be. And he told me that. He showed me that. And I ran from it, which was a mistake. But now I know. And when I accepted that and went with it, it was like a blanket of peace come upon me. God's plan is way better than ours, friends. He knows better than me. So here we were, here we are, where was I? So here we see again that God's plan, this is God's place, not just for him this time, but it was also for this woman, okay? And we're going to see now there's a purpose. So God already had the widow woman there. Verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. I don't know why she's gathering sticks. I can only imagine that might be to light a fire under the meal or to warm up the food probably. And he called her and said to her, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." So Elijah was obedient. He went there and verily he was fed again, as we'll see. Verse 11 says, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand.'" That's some request. "And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal,'" in verse 12, "in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering the two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." Whew. I believe that this woman was a believer. She recognized him as a man of God. She probably heard. I believe that she was a believer here. We're going to see in a minute. But something was going on with her also. Verse 13, "And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son.'" Now that's some request there. "Use all you've got to feed me, and if there's any left..." He didn't quite say that. At first, I had to read that over and over and over. He said, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said." Go and, she said, "I'm going to die." But that's not what he meant. But that's some request. She was fixing enough that she had, that she knew, to feed her and her son and then die, because there was a drought. There was no food and there was no water. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal," Elijah said to her, "the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Here we have number 4. This is God's promise right here. Now I'm still believing she's a believer, okay? Verse 15, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." Wow. So the cruse didn't fail, and the barrel of meal didn't fail. What a blessing. That's God's promise, and it happened. It did come to pass. If God says it's going to come to pass, it's going to pass. And it's going to come to happen. She was obedient this time to Elijah's request. She did believe, folks. Because if she hadn't believed, she wouldn't have done that. Let's see a little further. And verse 16, "And the barrel and the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." This, friends, we see that God's promise was fulfilled. So there's a whole lot, I could dig a whole lot more in this, but let's go on. Verse 17, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." Verse 18, "And she said unto Elijah, 'What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay me?'" Judgment for her, she figured. She had done something wrong. See, I'm thinking she was remembering her sin right there, thinking, "Boy, it's caught up with me." But really, if you look at that and go through this whole, she did believe, but her focus there was not on God. It was on her sin because of her turmoil, because of the death of her son. Her focus was off of God right there. In verse 19, "And he said unto her, 'Give me thy son.' And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into a loft where he abode and laid him on his bed," his own bed. "And he cried unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?' And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again.'" Verse 22, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." Verse 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, thy son liveth.'" I'm thinking this here son was just a little fella. If he could carry him up the stairs, bring him down and put her in the bosom. "See, thy son liveth." A little sarcasm there. Elijah recognized her doubt and said, see, focus on God. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this, in verse 24, I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. See, we see all through this story God's providence and his plan. God, we knew, had a plan from the start. His plan is best, by the way, regardless of what we think or when we think the time is right that we should take that step, we should answer that call, or we'll do it later because I haven't got time right now, basically. That's the way it is. We're too busy. God's plan is best. We see God has a place. His place for me is better. The peace that came in my life when I realized my place was no longer in my comfort zone, four seats from the front, serving and helping God and doing everything I could to help him get things accomplished from my place, was not where God's place wanted me to be. At that place God wants me to be is provision. We see he provided for Elijah in that first place and that second place by the widow. We see God's promise. Elijah was obedient. The widow was obedient. Then we see God's promise was fulfilled. For us to experience God's plan for our lives, we must be there. We must be there in God's place where he wants us. Now, I know that because I've experienced the issues with not wanting to go on God's time. I wanted to do or perhaps go on my time, which I wish or I can't get those 5 years back. Don't make the same mistake I did. Listen to the Lord. So where the Lord wants us to be is where he can use us best. First of all, we want to be fully surrendered to Christ, by the way. A lot of us, like I was for so many years, complacency, and I don't think I was fully surrendered. I was fully saved, but I wasn't fully in there for Christ. We need to be fully surrendered to Christ. The other thing I noticed the Lord showed me in this story, if I'm in the place where God wants me to be, that it is his perfect plan, and there's peace and there's provision, it's not only for me. It's for benefit for others too. We see that this woman was in her place, but the benefit also was not just for the revival of her son, but it was for feeding of Elijah. And for Elijah being there also, it was mutually for her benefit that he could revive her son. You see, there's a mutual benefit. It's not just for me. He's not putting me over there in Guernsey just because it's good for me. It's where God wants me. It's his plan, his place for me, where things would be more accomplished with what God wants to do in that place than what Glenn wants to do in my complacency, doing all the things I was trying to do to get God efficiently in order, which were of no use at all. So it was for a mutual benefit. He was fed and lived. The widow and her son revived and lived also. So you see, beloved, I could say to you, get thee hence, get thee there where God can use you. Now, I'm not saying, don't get nervous, Pastor. I'm not saying get you all out of here and find you another place. This is a good place to be, right? But God has a plan for you, and he has a purpose for us all, whether it be song leader, piano player, prayer warriors, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, whatever it be. There is a plan. There is a place for you. And I've seen this over and over and over. And I've heard it from talking to other preachers or missionaries. And I really feel half of these guys Need a cup of tea. Half of these guys, they're not in the place where God really wants them to be. They want to do something for God. A lot of these missionaries that come out of Bible college, they want to be a missionary, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. We need more laborers. Beg the Lord for laborers. Pray for laborers. That's what that means. And then they ask the Lord, where do you want me to go? And then they pick a place. I don't know. They wait for the Lord. I'm not bashing the other mission. Don't get me wrong. Mine didn't quite work like that, so that's all I know. But I'm concerned with one of my friends that he's not there where the Lord... He's serving and he's doing work. He's getting some things accomplished. But I don't believe he's there where God wants him to be. And I'm talking for me right here. All those years that I was there in complacency in my fourth row, in my own church, comfortable, listening to good preaching. That'll do. I can get to my own bed every night. But that wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's purpose. And sure, he's going to bless some of those works. But when I took that step and said, I'll go, my goodness, what a change in my life. But are you there today where God wants you? Do you know that for a fact? Have you even asked him? Have you even said, Acts 9:6, what will thou have me to do, O Lord? If you've never said that to the Lord, then you're not where you should be. That might be a bit heavy, but it's truth. If you've never said, what wilt thou have me to do, O Lord? Just like Saul said when he ran into Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Fully surrendered to the Lord. The Lord will use us. And he'll use us mightily. Do you know that? If we allow him. If we allow him. We just want to be where God wants us, friends. We want to be where he can use us. Where he can use us most is, like me, for instance. If Ainoa was to go to Guernsey, they probably wouldn't receive the gospel from her as much as they would from me, because I'm one of them. So he wouldn't probably send her before me, but he'll send me there because they say he's one of us. We might listen and see what happened to him. Now, she might be greatly used in her country, more so than I would be because I couldn't speak the language. But you see what I'm saying? God has a place. He has a purpose. And I know where my there is. Elijah went there. He got thee hence from this place, and he went there obedience. He went right away. And verily did God provide his provision, God's plan, his purpose. What providence, friends. When I look back over that 37 years from here now, from Guernsey to here, and God's sending me back, he's worked it all out. He's kept me from death those three or four times that I should be dead. He's put me in a place where I could hear the gospel. He's made provision in Guernsey that those 23-year license that I lived there for 23 years consecutively allows me to go back with no restrictions. If I look back, I can see God's hand in my whole life. And it's like, wow. And you know what? I found out what, I'm going to say 6 years ago maybe, when we were in Guernsey, I visited an aunt. She was 93 in the home, in the rest home. And when I was little, she used to take care of me a lot. Feed me, we had fun. That's all I remember really about her. And shame on me, in all those 37 years, I never went and looked for her, check on her. But somebody said, you know, Auntie Eva is in the home. I said, well, you know what? I want to go back and see her. I had some memories, good memories, because she had a cake shop and a tea shop. So it was tea and cake all day long. We were there. And I didn't know she was a Christian. I got in her restroom there, room in the home there, in the rest home. And she's got Bibles all over the place, big Bibles, all sorts of Bibles. I said, wow, goodness, aunt. I said, I didn't know. She said, oh, yeah. And when I walked in, I hadn't seen her over 45 years. Shame on me. Her face lit up. She said, ah, Glenn. She said, I've been praying for you. Woo, glorious. You wonder why I didn't die when I hit that truck at 95 mile an hour on a motorcycle that day. You wonder why I didn't die when I hit the wall at 75 mile an hour. That don't matter. Lord had a plan. He had a purpose. You wonder why when I was in Los Angeles, that short guy with a bandit put a gun in my head and said, what are you going to do now? Wonder why God just brought me through all that. Wonder why He just kept me going to get me to this place, to get over there, to proclaim the gospel where people can be saved, where He can use me fully. Nothing to do with me, by the way. I should have been dead a long time ago, the way I lived. I was riding a 140-mile-an-hour motorcycle going out to test it in the desert. That day I hadn't been drinking, by the way. But God's plan, God's purpose, God's place, God's provision, God's protection. There's a lot of P's. Write that down. I might use that. That'd be good. What about it, friends? What's God's place for us? Praying, reading, studying to show thyself approved unto God. We have to tell somebody about the good news. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. So I go home. The light has to shine. You are the light of the world. Not you. You might be if you switch it on. You are the light of the world. So I go home with the good tidings, the good news of Jesus Christ. They're desperate. They got nothing. They have nothing. That's the world we live in here. They have nothing else. Look at the mess we're in. But when Jesus comes in, you know that drinking thing? At the age of 44, just over 44, been drinking since I was 15. I liked it too much. I couldn't stop doing that. I couldn't stop, Robin. Jesus Christ took it from me. He took it. I didn't have to go to 12 steps, 6 steps, whatever they go. I didn't do any programs or nothing. Jesus came by and He took it from me. Amen. If you're trying to quit something, quit trying to quit and give it to Christ. Amen. Yeah, something like that. Only Christ can take it from you. If you give it to Him, I mean it. He took it. Amen. And there's those over there where I'm headed, still in that place drinking, that I can share that good news, that good tidings. I have to go. Yeah. Pastor's going to come up and close the service. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And I know it for sure. I know it for sure without a doubt. I sleep peacefully. If the Lord wants to take me home by a heart attack or by a train track wreck or whatever He wants to take, that's fine. I don't want my family to be alone. But guess what? They're going to be there in their place. Sooner or later, with me. What about you? You going to heaven, friends? Do you know it for sure? 1 John 5:13 says you can know it for sure. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and believe on the name of the Son of God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. That's my verse. John 14:6. That's the one that got me saved. And by the way, there's nothing in the world that Glenn LePage can do in Guernsey to save them. But God's Word. Amen. God's Holy Spirit. God's power. Give them God's Word. And it'll break their bones asunder. Break their stony hearts. Take that blindness away. Not what Glenn says, about what God says. Pastor, if you come, please. Amen.
No more we're going to pray, but Proverbs chapter 4 says this: let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I fear too oftentimes we Christians don't heed that admonition. See, Peter started out with that when he got out of the ship. His eyes were focused. But as soon as he turned aside, he began to sink. And some people never even start the focus, you know, because our life is all about me and my plan, my desires, my goals, and God's not a part of it. We don't ever think about that there that God wants us. And I can echo his testimony. I look at my life and I look at the things, and it's, you know, the old expression, man proposes, but God disposes. There's no way I could have orchestrated my life the way God has. I couldn't have planned this church. It was God's plan. And the steps, I look back, and from New York State to Tennessee, back to New York State to Kansas, and now to Pennsylvania. It was all God's plan. And in each of those theirs, God had a purpose. To better prepare me for what he wanted of me. So folks, think about that. What is your there? Where does God want you? And what's the purpose that he wants you there? Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established as God leads them. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord God, work in the hearts of your people this morning. God, help us each to take the time to ponder the path of our feet, to be sure that they're in the right way and that we've not turned aside. God, help our eyes to continue to be focused upon you and what you desire in our lives. Lord, again, I fear that there are some here this morning that have never really given thought to what you want in their lives. God, especially speak to those hearts. There might even be some here this morning that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, which is the first step, which is essential to even beginning to be to find out what the there is for them. Lord, if they need to be saved this morning, may they come receive from you what you provided for them, the forgiveness of their sins, adoption into your family, and an eternity with you. God, work in hearts there. And for the others that are saved but have never really surrendered, may you speak to them as well. Thank you for this brother. Thank you for this family willing to go back to their people, his people, to try to reach them for Jesus Christ. And God, help us to ponder that path. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.